Want to cut cooling bills without cutting comfort? Lower utility costs and enjoy cool and consistent comfort with a highly efficient air conditioner from Luxair. With Luxair's consumer rebate program, educators, nurses, first responders, military personnel, and veterans can enjoy exclusive rebates on qualifying purchases of Luxair equipment. To learn more, call Chris Brewer at Affordable Heat and Air, 317-656-7945. They'll recommend a system tailored to your home that provides comfort, energy savings, and lasting performance.
This is Trackside with Kirk Cavan and Kevin Lee on 93.5 and 107.5 The Fan.
And Pato O'Ward of Arrow McLaren leads this field, leads Erickson Dixon and his new teammate Alexander Rossi into turn one.
Top five are spread out, but it was all kinds of confusion at the back as somebody got really squirrely off the final corner and stacked up positions 5 through 12.
Not done yet. Pato O'Ward could win at St. Pete.
Oh, that's a problem.
Is something wrong with him? Erickson to the lead.
He had a huge slide coming off the corner. He must have had a misshift. Maybe there was an overboost. That's an engine situation that temporarily limits power. And the lead now has gone to Marcus Erickson.
Well, he drove like we have never seen him drive to win the Indianapolis 500 last May. And now Marcus Erickson in the Husky Chocolate Honda is a winner again. But this time on the streets of St. Petersburg, delivers Chip Ganassi the first victory of a new season.
We made it. It's IndyCar race season. Hello, welcome. Thanks for joining us. Trackside on 93.5, 107.5 The Fan. In Indianapolis, you heard some highlights from last year's Firestone Grand Prix of St. Petersburg. We'll do it again coming up Sunday, noon airtime, NBC, Peacock, 12:30 prompt is the green flag on NBC and radio right here with IndyCar Radio on 107.5 The Fan with Mark Janes and company. We have a lot to get to, only an hour to do it tonight. We've got our three TBAs confirmed just today. With that, another Indy 500 seat is confirmed, so we're at 33, I believe, car and driver combos. We'll update what's left. There are some broadcast nuggets to get into inside and outside of IndyCar. Details on future plans for IndyCar's car and schedule. And Formula One has zero intrigue on who will win on track, but off the track, oh boy, we've got a lot happening there. Thanks for being a part of the program tonight. Kevin Lee, Kurt Cavan, Elijah Roberson is in our Indianapolis studios. Kurt, we've got Brett Michaels playing Saturday night. We've got Bon Jovi on the grid on Sunday and in the fastest seat in sports. And we've got 27 cars with drivers attached to them.
Yeah, it's great. The news ferry delivered in a big way today. So
too
now
much.
We know a lot of the things that we suspected last week have come to fruition. Maybe we've got some clarity on the rest of the season with Dale Coyne Racing. Maybe we don't. I don't know that we know everything yet. And we still don't know maybe some of what's going to happen with Arrow McLaren. But we did learn some things. And by the way, I've not told my wife that Bon Jovi will be at the race on Sunday, but that's probably her all-time favorite. So she's listening tonight, so she'll probably find out through this program.
My wife is aware, and she has booked a trip. So
I bet she has.
Will be there, and I kind of know his itinerary a bit of where he's going to be. So I've warned family and friends that we are not doing any photo ops with Bon Jovi. No pictures, but you can get a view and wave high. So we've got that going for us.
So
we're not arranging any meet and greets.
The depth chart here is McDreamy and then Bon Jovi. And it's probably a big cliff falling off the cliff from those two. So
okay. All right. Let's get into what we learned today. We know who's in the number six car, as we suspected last week. All signs were pointing towards it. Confirmed today, Callum Ilott will fill in for David Malukas. Callum Ilott, by the way, coming off of, because there was not as much motorsport on this weekend, and there was a little bit I found on Motor Trend. I watched the first hour and the last hour of the WEC opener, and there's going to be competition, by the way, boys and girls, for Callum Ilott's services next year.
Very good.
He finished
very
second.
Good.
He was smoking fast in that car. First time that team had podiumed, I believe. Porsche Penske also their first WEC win in World Endurance Championship. So that was a big deal. Porsche went 1-2-3, but Callum Ilott's team finished second. He was the finishing driver. He was impressive, as we expected. What do we expect in this? He's essentially not driven this car. He did the test at Homestead. That was the hybrid. This is not the car that he's going to be driving this coming weekend.
So it's very difficult to know what we expect from many of these drivers. In fact, it goes into the season with great intrigue, and we can talk about this later. You know who he reminds me of in some capacity, a parallel perhaps, is Mike Conway. Really strong sports car driver, really quick. You know, and maybe just never. I mean, Mike did get his shot. He certainly won a couple races and was very quick with some teams.
He was really good on road and street races.
Yes, he was.
Yeah, I don't want to do ovals. I don't have to. I can get a job doing something else I like.
So that's what Callum has kind of reminded me of over the last 18 months or so, and I think it's great. I don't know what to expect from him on this particular weekend, but I bet he hits above his weight. I bet he punches a little stronger than you might think for a driver who's stepping into the seat. What we don't know, and clarify this if you can, we don't know if this is just St. Pete. I haven't looked at his WEC schedule, honestly, to know what the Thermal Club weekend looks like. But they did not announce him for Thermal. They announced him for St. Pete.
Because Malukas might be ready to go by Thermal. That's one of the questions, that, as I understand it. But Callum Ilott confirmed today, I was on the video conference call that he did with media, that he said, I am available for Thermal. After that, I don't believe he's available for Long Beach. I'd have to look at the WEC schedule. I don't think he is there, but I'm not certain. And he did mention a couple of times that the Porsche Jota team, that is my priority. Could that change? It could. I would not expect it to without some broader assurances. If McLaren said, all right, if you do these extra races, we'll go ahead and sign you to a contract for 25, then I think he might go to them or look for a way out. But if there's no guarantee, what he's doing is a good job. And it's a good paying job, and you can do quite well. But you know, hopefully Malukas is fine by then. And as we've said before, there's every chance that McLaren is four cars next year. But they have three drivers right now. At least one of them is a free agent in Alexander Rossi. And Malukas might be as well. You know, it might be a one-year situation for him. So there is potentially those two seats, and they could just create them. If Malukas and Rossi go great this year, which I think Rossi's going to have a better year this year, then that could just be an extra seat. How will he do? This is really tough. It's a really tough circumstance, but he's really, really good. If you would have put him in this car all season with a proper off-season, proper as it is, there's not a lot of it, but with an off-season testing program, you know, I would rate him as a chance to finish top six or seven in the championship. In that first year, top six or seven in this first race, it's probably going to take some circumstances to be able to get that done. So even if he qualifies 16th and isn't really a factor in the race, I would not say that just means that Callum Ilott can't get it done.
Did you just say that you think with proper testing, Callum could have been in the top six in the championship?
I think in the McLaren car, I think he's that good.
Oh, I think he's very good. I just start doing the math. He's not going to finish, all things considered, he's not going to finish ahead of Pelot and Dixon.
So I should rephrase that. Could finish top six or seven in the championship. Yeah, and then you start doing the math, and it might end up, where did Rossi finish?
Ninth.
Yeah. But I put it this way. I rate him, with the exception of the ovals, which he does not have enough experience in. There are more of them this year, so I guess that's something that should be factored in. But I rate him on that
too.
Path. I think this is going to be so fascinating. We're going to learn about Callum Ilott through what Romain Grosjean does this year. If Grosjean continues an upward trajectory for that team, then okay. You know, it was a combination of driver and team. If they really struggle, you're going to go back and say, wow, Ilott was pulling them along to some extent. And he kind of alluded to that by still trying to stay positive today. But I think this is one to watch.
Oh, I agree. It's going to be fun. And I, as I said, I compare him very favorably in a Mike Conway type of situation. So that's a race winner with some, you know, some equipment. I mean, he ran with Foyt and showed really well. Mike did. And, you know, obviously he did with Andretti as well. So, you know, there's really high expectations for Callum's future. I hope he gets a legitimate shot this week. I don't know if he can finish in the top 10, given the what I think is a better Andretti organization for 2024. McLaren should be good. The Penske's, the Ganassi 2, and I think Linus Lundqvist is going to be outstanding. I think you're going to have to do really well to be a top 10 guy, all things being normal, which they never are, of course.
And remember, Rahal Letterman-Lanigan won a street race last year.
Yes.
I expect them to be better. I think they'll be better at Indy, but I'm going to need to see it to believe it. You know, they're going to have to prove something there. But I do think what they learned throughout last season is definitely going to apply to the non-ovals to get things started. The oval is still a little bit up in the air. So that's one of the situations and one of the cars. Dale Coyne Racing, also, as we expected and others expected, when they had the drivers they had at Sebring, they were basically out of options. But we got some clarity, including on Nolan Siegel. So that's what I didn't know if that would come out. Too many people had been speaking about this, and we got confirmation. So I had heard three or four races. Well, that's why it was three or four. It's 3 points paying races plus thermal. I'm really happy that he's going to get to do thermal because he's had one day in the car so far, and that was at Homestead. So not really a proper environment. So he'll be able to use thermal as a ramp up to get going, and then he's going to have street races, Long Beach. Wow. That's a place to debut. And then Toronto, and in between, he'll have a chance to qualify for the Indianapolis 500. That's in the 18 car. And as I wondered last week how this is going to play out, I think Dale Coyne's best situation is he's going to have to piecemeal it together and get the budget that he can. And the 500 is the asset that he has. So Jack Harvey likely has some budget, but it's not enough for a full season. So unfortunately, so fortunately for him, he gets 14 races. By the way, I think this is a smart move for Jack Harvey. He's not doing the Indy 500 at this time. You know, I suppose there is still the opportunity until they announce the second car that he could put the budget together to do that. But I like this for his circumstance because he needs to reinvigorate his career. And when you put all your eggs in one basket for the Indy 500, and maybe even if it's one or two other races, that's a big gamble. He's going to be able to grow with this program because, honestly, it's going to be tough sledding. It's going to be super, super tough sledding. They just hired an engineer, Steve Newey, who's very good, but it's been a while since Steve Newey has engineered IndyCars. They have been calling around trying to find engineering help for the last little while. It's going to be tough. Jack needs to get into that second half of the season to really show what he can do. He has 14 races. And then Colin Brown is going to get to do, I need somebody to look this up for me. When's the last time we had a rookie that was older than him? We almost had one last year. Augustine Canapino was probably 33 or 34, but Colin is 35. When's the last time we had a rookie? Lynn St. James was older as a rookie in the Indy 500. Jimmy Johnson would be one. So there are probably some others, but that stands out. I hope Colin brings his dad, Jeff, to help engineer. I'd look for all the help I could get at this point. We're not going to get a true sense of what Colin can do in one race, so I hope he gets more. All that's confirmed for him is St. Pete, and I believe Thermal was confirmed.
And they talked about races later in the season. So that's good. Yeah, there were a lot of unanswered questions about Dale Coyne's program. You know, how, you know, really what happens after the first two events with Colin's program or the car that Colin will be driving. And I think he's going to be, you know, he's going to do really well and it'll be interesting. You know, his side-by-side is going to be the comparison with Harvey, you know, his teammate, because the team is not going to be in that first half of the field. But if all of a sudden Colin or Jack show up and they're 20th on the grid, pretty good start for a team that hasn't had much testing.
beating anybody is going to be good at this point, this first weekend. And for Colin, it could be a little bit mutual because he's got good jobs. He's got good paying jobs. I don't know what the circumstance is here, if he's driving for expense money, if he's getting a salary or whatever the case is, but if it's, he's a professional driver. If he's not getting paid what his normal rate is and it's not going well, he might say, you know what, I appreciated the opportunity, but I'm going to go hang out with George Kurtz and we're going to go continue to win races. And I'm not missing anything, you know, to impact my day job. The reality is that the seat will be offered up for sale. If a driver that Dale feels good about brings some budget, then they are probably going to get the seat, and Colin's opportunity is going to be to fill in those holes in between. So I think that's the circumstance of that. And that also could, you know, he's still got a carrot out there. He's got an Indy 500 seat. Only Nolan Siegel is confirmed for the Indy 500. A lot of people are talking about Catherine Legg. I've heard that from a half a dozen other people. No one has told me it's 100%, but people have said, she's going to be in the car. But until I see it announced, because they announced a lot of things today, and they could have announced that. So that tells me it's not done. So that means that you can still keep other names in play. And this includes for other races. And Catherine could potentially do other oval races. Maybe she does a couple of road to street races as well. Haven't heard from Benjamin Peterson. I know Devlin DeFrancesco is not an option for full season, but after they could not come to terms at one point with the 500 out there, might they revisit that? So I would not. Now, maybe someone has asked Devlin. I have not asked him or his people recently if that's an option. But, you know, now, even if they're saying no today, maybe the price goes down in a month. Who knows? That could be a possibility. And then the others, like we've talked about, J.R. Hildebrand, Stefan Wilson, all of those could be in play. And then I'll throw out the other names as we get to. So here are the two seats that are left, that and Able Motorsports. Maybe A.J. Foyt, but I don't think A.J. Foyt is running a third car. We have kind of thought, or it's been thought, that R.C. Enerson is in the Able car. I hope that's the case. But as I said last week, haven't seen an announcement yet. And then I see RC post on Facebook something along the lines of, I should have done a screen grab of it. All is good for Indy 500. We just need a primary sponsor.
Well, that's kind of important. Kind of a big deal.
That's a big deal. So that means we're not just looking for, you know, the tire bill. So that means something still needs to happen. And so I think that seat is still in play. I'm a big fan of RC's. I think he deserves an opportunity. He's a friend. I hope he gets the chance. But some of the other people being mentioned are also friends, and they're all deserving of chances. Does J.R. Hildebrand have budget? We know he can get the job done. Same names I just mentioned. Devlin DeFrancesco, Stefan Wilson. How much does Stefan have? Could there be a surprise in there? If these other drivers don't have full budget, I'm calling Charlie Kimball. I believe Charlie Kimball, if he feels like the situation is good enough for him to go to work for this, I think Charlie could probably find the budget to run.
Certainly is building for a very interesting class at the Indy 500 from a rookie standpoint. You've got Linus Lundqvist. You've got Kyle Larson. Kevin Simpson will be a rookie. Nolan Siegel will be a rookie. Christian Rasmussen, the Indy next. Oops, I almost put 50 cents in the jar there. Christian Rasmussen, the Indy next by Firestone champion. So you've got the past two Indy next champions, Kevin Simpson, Kyle Larson. Nolan Siegel was rookie of the year last year in next. And perhaps I'm forgetting somebody, but that's a pretty good group of interesting group, especially when you factor that Lundqvist and Simpson are going to be in Ganassi cars and Kyle Larson will be in an Arrow McLaren car. That's pretty stout up front.
By the way, I should probably mention one other name for the Able seat, Jacob Able.
Sure.
We're seeing Nolan Siegel do it, and Jacob might be thinking, hey, and his family, hey, let's go ahead and get a little bit of a jump start. I don't know that. It just depends on the finances of the team. You know, is Able Construction able to be a primary sponsor, or can they find another primary sponsor? From a financial standpoint, it might be better for them as they're growing within a team to bring a driver that has a sponsor that has budget, kind of learn, and then let Jacob go about it properly next year. But, you know, you can't rule that out because no. I think 6 months ago, I would not have said it was likely at all for Nolan Siegel to be doing the Indy 500 and two or three other races. So there's what we have on that front. Back to this weekend, a couple of things to look for. We won't get into this too much because we have so much to cover. But first practice is 2:45 on Friday afternoon. It's still a similar format that we've had in recent years. Track will be super busy, by the way, all day Friday with USF 2000, USF Pro 2000. They have 21 and 22 cars each. Indy Next will race at 10 a.m. on Sunday. They'll be practicing on Friday. They have at least 20 cars. There's still two TBAs. I know one driver, at least, that is in play for both of those seats. That is a possibility. So those may or may not run, but between 20 and 22. The IMSA VP Racing Sports Car Challenge is going to be there. Jagger Jones is running in LMP3s. That's kind of cool, kind of scary. LMP3s with some really fast young drivers like Jagger and then some gentleman drivers. And for those of us that have an affiliation with the GT4 car starting right behind them, and the GT4 young drivers are faster than the P3 drivers starting in the back, I'm hoping for a split start. Let's spread them out. But they didn't do that. And the P3 cars were getting passed in the opening corners at Daytona last month. But Jackson Lee will be in a blue car this week, an Aston Martin number 82. California Closets of Tampa and Southwest Florida is the primary, and we will have a full suite of people there. So there's stuff going on. Jackson's races, by the way, are live on Peacock, both of them on Saturday. He'll have three sessions on Friday and races like late morning and late afternoon on Saturday.
Quick aside, does it unsettle you at all that your son's driving an Aston Martin, and I think has he driven a Porsche? What did he drive at Daytona?
A Porsche, and he'll drive a Porsche again, going back to his other team at Sebring, a Michelin pilot, and he's driven a BMW, yes.
And you have not?
I have a Civic. I love my Civic, but...
That's what I was getting at.
But I can't get a sponsor for my Civic, so that's kind of the difference.
Okay, the point you were going to make.
Split practice sessions. I love this idea, and we'll get into the details of everything on our Peacock broadcasts on Friday, but we always see them go at that first practice, run an install lap, and then just sit because they don't have enough tires, and I like the creativity that IndyCar had and said, okay, we're going to split up the sessions a little bit, so there's not a full hour and 15 minutes available to everyone. I don't have it right in front of me, but it'll be a little less time, and I think it's much more likely that we will see cars on track much of the time. Because we always forget this, so we're going to do this now. We're going to do this in a minute because I didn't tell you. I was asked to come up with a season champion pick, a 500 and rookie of the year. So start thinking of that.
Oh, I got it.
While we look at some of the highlights here. Will Powers won the pole 9 times. So that's always something to kind of look at. No other driver has won more than one at St. Pete. Scott Dixon has not won there yet. Nor Alexander Rossi. And by the way, these are credit to Chad Smith. Chad 200 always has good nuggets. So those are some of his. Dixon, Rossi, Pillow, Pato Award have not won so far at this event.
So if we want to scoop myself on IndyCar.com tomorrow, the roundtable discussion of who wins this race, give me Scott McLaughlin all day long. He was outstanding last year, crashed in turn four with Grosjean, won the year before. Penske's always good there. Give me Scott McLaughlin for St. Pete.
I'm going to say Colton Herta.
I think Andretti's will be good.
Back on track immediately. That will continue to gnaw at him. If he goes a few races into 2024 without a win, their cars were so strong there last year and have been almost every year. Surely, well, they won't have all four of them, go up in flames this year because they only have three. But if I have to make a pick, and that's what I love about IndyCar, is that this is spitballing and throwing stuff against the wall, because I think if you're a great debater, you could probably go through any one of about eight people and make a really strong case for that. But I think the Andretti cars are going to be strong. So if I'm going to pick someone at this point, I'm going to say Colton for this one. Power and Newgarden are the only drivers entered that have won more than once. And then Graham, Colton, McLaughlin, and Marcus Ericsson have all won. I watched last year's race today. What might have been if Grosjean makes it through turn four with Scott McLaughlin? You know, and he still had momentum, and the first three or four races went very well for him. And then...
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
It did not go well, I guess is the way to put it, the rest of the year. But if he gets off the snide and wins for the first time in anything in a dozen years, how might things have gone? It's a little bit easier to deal with frustrations if you've got that win out of the way, and he was so fast last year. And that's one of my fascinating watches for this year. How will this go? How will it go with Juncos Hollinger? Where is this team at this year? I hope they're there.
Yeah, I agree. I think that'll be an interesting watch. And you're right. Grosjean was really on the cusp of something in those first three or four races last year. And, you know, bad luck just kept getting him. It got him at Texas, the next event after St. Pete. And it just kind of went and snowballed from there. The other one I'm really intrigued by is Linus Lundqvist at Ganassi. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't be surprised if that's a fast 12 car. In fact, I'd almost kind of expect it to be a fast 12 car, which is a big deal when you factor in how good the Andretti's are going to be, how good Pillow and Dixon are going to be, how good the three Penske's will be, how good Lundgaard will be, go down through the list. So I'm really intrigued by Lundqvist. That would be one that I think if you had to give me a surprise, if I had to be pressed for a surprise, that would be one that would surprise people, but wouldn't surprise me.
He could be in the fast six.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
We need to see more about him. You know, he was getting that car that he was with last year, the Meyer Shank car, into the fast 12, into round two, which they weren't doing. So he clearly has it. You know, and we say, you can't say he is in the fast six, because let's name the number of drivers that should be in that feel like they should be in the fast six. Joseph Newgarden, Scott McLaughlin, Pato O'Ward, Alexander Rossi, Scott Dixon, Alex Pillow. I've named six there already. Marcus Armstrong probably thinks he should be there. Oh, there's Will Power, who's won 70 poles. I'm up to eight or nine.
Lundgaard.
Colton Herta, Kyle Kirkwood, Marcus Ericsson. There you go. That's 10, 12, something like that. And then you'll get some surprises in there here and again.
No, it's gonna be really good, and it's always first day of school type of atmosphere in St. Pete, and you start to watch who emerges and who struts their stuff. And by the way, I do have thoughts on the season champion. I don't know if you're ready to go there, but for me, it's Alex Pillow. You got to show me you can beat this guy first. I don't know how the hybrid depends on when that comes into play and how teams adjust. I think all bets are off when you get to that. You may have somebody excel that you maybe not. I'm not saying you'll see a surprise there, because I think it'll come from the Ganassi or Penske operation, but I do think it does open the possibility for something odd to happen in terms of winning races. But I think Pillow is your pick. And if it's not Pillow, I think you got to go with Joseph, because of the number of oval races on the card this year. I think Joseph probably should be the pick. I'm going to say Pillow, but it's either or for me.
You'd asked me 3 weeks ago, I would have said Pillow. You had one more intermediate oval called a super speedway, called intermediate whatever. My pick becomes Joseph Newgarden in this case. And I do think it's a little bit different. You know, even before the hybrid comes into play, there's less weight on the cars. So this is going to be a bit of an engineering exercise. And as we saw when they went to the aero screen with a shift in weight, that didn't work well for everybody. And that there were drivers that did not acclimate to that. I think Alex Pillow is going to be in that camp. I don't. but it's just not 100% certain. So it's not the exact same situation as it is last year. And I know every year it's probably a safe bet to say a Penske or Ganassi are going to win because they have won the championship every year since, what, 2012 or is it 2014? It's when Hunter Ray won. 12. He won the 500 and 14, won the championship in 12. I believe they have won the championship. Is that right? Every year since?
I think so.
Even more reason that it's going to be this year, because if they do go to the hybrid S plan, and I hear no reason that they won't, I think it's going fine mid-season. There are two teams that have done most of the testing, Penske and Ganassi. And this is not going over well with the other teams. Even the McLarens and the Andretti's, who have had some time, have much less time than Penske or Ganassi. So it is going to be monumentally difficult for anyone outside of those top four to do well in that second half of the season. But that is a little bit of a wild card as far as that is concerned. Rookie of the year is probably pretty easy. It's Linus Lundqvist. I don't know that we need to. Is there any debate there?
I don't think so. No? I don't think so. I think he's best in class with a good team.
500 is, again, throw one against the wall between at least a half a dozen people at this point. You know, I've got Pato. I think Rossi is going to be strong, as he always is. Pillow, McLaughlin, yada, yada, yada. If I'm picking one, I'm picking Dixon. At some point, Dixon is going to get some breaks. Ganassi has had clearly the best car the last few years. Dixon is due.
So is Pillow. Pillow's due, too.
Yeah.
He's had two really unfortunate timings with things on pit road, either coming to pit road just as the caution comes out and is forced at that point to stay on a race or to stay on his path down pit road. And then he's collected by Rinus VK last year. Either one of those, he scrambled back very admirably. I think he had the best car in qualifying last year. I think he wins the race.
Just other things I'm looking forward to. I want to see where Meyer Shank Racing is this year. Can they step it back up? I think they will. I think that Felix Rosenqvist is going to do really well. It's a grand experiment with Tom Blomqvist, too. It was tough, but I think he is so much further ahead with what he did with the three races last year. So I give him a chance to be a factor this year as well. And what's AJ Foyt Racing going to be? They have an influx of cash. The reported budget that comes with Stingray Rob spreads through the whole program, and now this Penske relationship. I haven't gone through all the engineering pairings yet, but James Schnabel is the engineer for Santino Ferrucci. He's been a number two engineer for Penske for the last few years. So this is not just, we're going to share some setup information. They've got a Penske engineer on Santino Ferrucci's car.
I agree.
That is something to keep an eye on. So,
just as you were going down the list of things to watch, I just kept thinking about the 14 car in particular. And, Ferrucci's going to be very good. Now he's got two races at Milwaukee. He's got Gateway. He's got Indy. He's got the doubleheader at Iowa. And he's got a Gateway or a Nashville race. That's going to be beneficial to Ferrucci's chances of being, near the 15 position rank, near the 12 to 15. He's got a shot at it.
Yep. All right. Up next, some notes off track. Some really interesting things from a Mark Miles conversation with the media last week. Some broadcast nuggets and other stuff coming up on Trackside.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Hi, this is Colton Herta, and you're listening to Trackside on 93.5 and 107.5, The Fan.
Okay, a lot to get through in this segment. I'm going to just throw out some different things that I've seen over the last couple of weeks. The lawsuit between, or whatever you want to call it, but between McLaren and Alex Palou has benefited Pato O'Ward. That's kind of collateral damage. That part of the argument, Nathan Brown in the Indianapolis Star spelled all this out really well. Well, because we lost this A driver, and you know, I feel for David Malukas that he's being listed as a non-A driver, and this is all going public at this point, we felt like we had to pay Pato O'Ward more money, and Pato was gracious enough to accept that.
Yeah.
So even before this new contract kicks in, he's got a two-year extension on that that takes him through like 27. Adam Stern, Sports Business Journal, reported people. So people want to know, why isn't IndyCar's documentary on Netflix or Amazon Prime or something like that? Your answer is always money. NASCAR spent over $5 million to get their show on Netflix. I believe Formula One did the same thing as well when this got started. IndyCar actually got paid, Mark Miles told us last year, to do this. You can argue the merits of that or not, but that's a significant amount of cash. Andrew Marchand of The Athletic was the first to report, and I believe he's confirmed this. Dale Earnhardt Jr. is leaving NBC, and this is a big boost for the new streaming summer partners next year. Amazon Prime, wait till NASCAR fans find out that five races are not on TV. They are streaming, but that's becoming more the norm, like the NFL, and the Turner Warner Brothers Discovery outlet. So 10 races, Dale Jr. will be there next year. And apparently, as of now, could always change, is not on NBC for the NASCAR part of things. Mark Miles, regarding IndyCar's TV rights, recently said, our priority is definitely still on reach. While I still think we'll see some useful increase in our rights fees. A lot of nuggets out of this. 27, working on a new car. So people have asked that for a while. That is in the pipeline, paired with the engine and hybrid situation. What else did we see in there? What interested me the most was some conversation about Nashville and how that's going to work out. And the question came up, I think, originally, well, if you want to get back to the streets, how are you ever going to do that when you can't ever find out what the NFL schedule will be until late April, and they're not going to guarantee you week two off being on the road every year? And he said, which is one of the things a lot of us have said might not be a bad idea, we hope to end our season before the NFL season begins. So I guess I'll repeat what I've said before. I get it. I wish our season was longer, but if television ratings matter to you, now, if they don't, then don't worry about it. Run your season through October. But if that matters to your partners, eyeballs on television, then you need to do everything you can to end your season before the NFL, because you are just not going to get, you're immediately talking a 30 to 40% drop, if not more, in your ratings if you run on a Sunday afternoon after the NFL starts.
And I think it impacts the gate as well, because I think, you know, you've got football fans in all these markets, and I think it is troublesome. It is challenging. You're trying to run in the LA market, and the Rams and the Chargers are playing, and everybody's watching, you know, the NFL games. I can understand that as well. So I don't know that it's just television. I think it also hurts the gate. I mean, I'd like it to be different, but, you know.
Well, in Nashville, even if you run, you know, you're not only competing with the Titans, you're competing with the University of Tennessee.
Sure.
Which, what do they draw? 90 to 100,000 every week?
100,000.
Even if your race is on Sunday, if, you know, it's not all in that area, but you had 100,000 people, that's a full day. They're probably not going to do a full day 2 days in a row. So that eliminates pretty big number of sports fans from probably coming to your event the next day.
No
question.
And
by the way, also eliminates them from coming to the practice session. Now, late August, you're still potentially up against college football. Although they do their schedules way in advance. They're like 5 years in advance. So you can look on the schedule right now and see if the University of Tennessee is playing at home, or someone knows that. I don't know if it's all public, but it is known what their schedule is in August of next year.
Absolutely.
You know, the only thing that's not always known, I think, are conference games. But in August and early September, you're talking about non-conference games. So it's always been my idea to finish earlier and then start earlier. But here's the problem with that. You're limited to where you can go with warm weather circumstances. And St. Pete's been awesome. That's a great place to start the season. I would be, as much as I want to start earlier, it's not worth starting 3 weeks earlier if it's not an event like St. Pete. Unfortunately, go ahead and cross off your list right now. Homestead, Phoenix. Is there any other oval where it's warm enough? That's probably it, isn't it?
Probably it.
But now I'm fine if we go back there at some point, but that should not be your opener. One, I like to actually see people in the stands for the first practice session. Some. And it's going to be friends and family if your first practice is at Homestead or Phoenix or any oval outside of the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. So then you're looking, all right, has somebody come up with something intriguing in Southern California? Maybe. Is it warm enough in Dallas if you do a street race there? A little iffy. Maybe. Before March? Can you talk St. Pete into moving it up a week or two? Maybe. But until I'm told of some other great option, I think you need to work with St. Pete.
I agree. I don't see any better option in even a dream scenario that's better than St. Pete. They have
Fort
Kim
Lauderdale.
And
street race at Fort Lauderdale. If somebody ever were able, and I'm not telling you that that's in the pipeline. I'm not aware that it is. It was a long time ago, but something like that, if you had the right group behind it, maybe that's the right environment where you could do something like that.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll see what we missed coming up in just a moment. I've still got a lot more here on the table. If we need to, we'll save it for next week, which, by the way, is only going to be an hour. We're on Monday night next week, I think.
That's
Monday
right.
Monday night at
7 o'clock, I believe.
I have 8 o'clock.
Okay. Check maybe 8 o'clock. Check your
just
local
tune in and listen to whatever it's on. Yeah. All right. We'll see what we missed and more coming up next on Trackside.
This is Alex Palou, and you're listening to Trackside.
Okay, final segment, and what did we miss? Oh, when we were talking about Mark Miles' conversation in a conference call with Select Media last week, one of the things that came up was the charter system that has been proposed to owners. Nathan Brown broke it down in the Indianapolis Star and said their latest proposal omitted the system about guaranteed spots in the Indy 500. Miles was quoted as saying, "We said we want you to think about this without the assurance of charter members having automatic starting positions on the grid for the 500. That's what we aired. And of course, we immediately heard a lot of other team owners saying, whoa, that's really important. So it's a key discussion point for sure," Miles said. So I don't think this is done yet, but there is, I think you've been heard that there is some pushback on this. Also, Nathan reported that the teams were asked originally for $1 million per entry. So we will keep an eye on that one. Few Twitter questions. Matt Archuleta, when we talk about oldest rookie, points out John Alesi. Yeah, I think that's a good possibility. He was probably, what, 47-ish or so when he did a few laps in the Indy 500. Make Loves Motorsport asks, "I'm trying to get my family into IndyCar. My brother asked me this question. I had a hard time giving him an answer. Who's the MJ? Who is the LeBron in IndyCar? Would love to hear your thoughts." Well, isn't Dixon the LeBron that keeps going and going and seems to be ageless? And the MJ is always debatable because NBA and basketball people will tell you, well, there are others. You know, there's Wilt, there's Kareem, there's Magic. You know, is it Mario? Is he the MJ? It's somebody probably from that era. But that's what's great about sport. You're never going to have an exact answer. Mitchell Campbell says, "Could you ask Kurt what bands are playing on Carb Day?" Well, I could have, but you know he would not have told us, even if he does know. So we'll have to wait for the release on that. You might get it somewhere else, but you're probably not getting it publicly from someone who works for the Speedway. Jack Manson asks if we can expect any updates to the graphics on the broadcast or the timing. I don't know. I'm not sure what plan. They always have upgrades and different things, but I'm not privy to the graphics department. I'm kind of staying in my lane and doing what I can from that point. And also, final question, Tanker Yanker says, "Could you see a scenario where Michael Andretti invests in Haas F1 as a partner?" I'd say no. He would offer to buy them, but not invest in them. We're out of time. We'll talk to you next Monday night. Get ready for racing at St. Pete coming up this weekend, and get ready for Pacers basketball at Dallas next.